It's 1973, and I'm a 12-year-old, okay, do the math, boy, black boy, living in an all-white community. So there's some connection I have to the speaker we had, but from a different perspective. And my parents decided that it was a really good idea to integrate an entire community when I was 5 years old. It wasn't the best idea ever, but so I'm now 12. I've suffered a few years of integration, not being able to swim in the pool of the neighbor who lives next door, but having to sit in my yard and watch every other child in the neighborhood swim in the pool, and not able to go in Aaron's house 2 doors down because I don't really know. You don't know how to integrate a thought like that, interestingly enough. And so I'm 12, and I go with Andy Gutman. You hear the music? We were feeling strong. And we went to the Our Lady Help of Christian fair. And it was like one of those fairs that they have at churches where there's not a lot going on. There's a lady with some pockets and some stuff in it, and a couple of booths with some stuff, but there is not. And there's Donna, this girl who lives in the neighborhood. So I said, "Well, let me go talk to Donna. I'm 12. Can you put that music on one more time?" Do 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 do. Do 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 do. So I walk up to Donna. And I said, "Hi, Donna." And that was pretty much the entire conversation. And then I went back to hang with Andy. And all of a sudden, there's like a group forming behind me and Andy of now, back in my day, we called them greasers. They wore leather. They didn't look like us, right? They wore all kind of leather, black stuff, and they were definitely white boys. And I was told not to play with boys from this part of town. Like, don't even encounter these boys. And they were from this place called Roslyn. Now, every urbanized environment in this country has a Roslyn, right? Is where all the poor white kids live, right? And they grow up. For some reason, somebody a long time, if you want to get the real deal, you can read Brother Howard Zinn's book. And some of you probably read that. Let's just take a second for Howard. He just passed a minute ago, but he breaks it down. So I hadn't read that book. It hadn't been written yet. And I didn't know, exactly why these people hated me for my color of my skin, but they did. So I said, "Andy, come on, let's roll." And there's a Sears Roebuck right here, you know. So I said, "Let's roll. Let's just get out of here because, you know, these footsteps behind me don't just feel good." And my daddy said, "Don't play with them boys." So we started to walk, and within a few minutes, two of them were holding Andy, and the rest of them were attacking me with their boots and their all whatever they had. And so I didn't fare that well that afternoon. It was a rough day. But a day like that has a way of sticking with you. You know, you remember that. So zoom forward to 1978 when I graduated from high school and I am coming to Baltimore to go to MICA to make art and pretty things. And so when I land in MICA, you always, as a black person, get some information, critical information, when you come to a new place. Even if you come by yourself, somehow this information migrates to you. And the information that migrated to me was that I should not go to a place called Hamden. And I know a lot of y'all hang out there because I know the Stoop crowd, right? So, but remember, 1979, okay, it's changed a little bit. And don't go south of Cross Street. And go through the market quickly if you want to get some good seafood. So you take these lessons, they don't necessarily explain it, but they pretty much give you that look, like that Rosalind look, like you don't want to do this. This is not good for you. And you know, within a couple of years, I had friends who were of color who moved to Hamden and got a cross burned on their lawn, and I had some friends of friends that were a black gay couple. That's rough. Nobody told these folks, but they moved south of Cross Street, and there was machine gun fire in the side of their house. So you got to take these lessons fairly seriously. So you start building walls of segregation within your own soul. Like, Baltimore is segregation central. Do you ever notice that? A lot of walls. And I don't really like walls. I break them down as a profession. That's my thing. So I do go. I play music in Hamden, you know, at Holy Free Holies, and used to El Rancho Grande, but it didn't make it. But I got those messages clearly, and I still don't stray far off of 36th Street. Now, about a year ago, this thing was happening that really caught my attention. I don't know if any of you heard about this, but there was a presidential election where a black man was gonna be president. Right? Anybody hear about that? So this black man was very excited about this moment. And so on election day, I'm a motorcycle rider, right? I love riding my motorcycle. So on election day, I said, okay, well, this is election day. I got some things to do. And so I went to look at the election booth, and it was all filled up. And so I just said, let me go get some stuff done, and then I'll come back. You know, so I got some stuff done. But as I was leaving the house, I went to grab for my leathers jacket, and I was sporting this badass Obama Orioles jam. Did you see that? I was on the front of the city paper. It said Obama with an O, like the Orioles, and then you turn around and it was 08. It was bad. And Ripken's 08, right? And I got some special connection to him too. So I was sporting this tee, and my leather jacket would just blow it, and I wouldn't be able to billboard for my president. So I said, screw the leather jacket, election day, right? So I get on my bike and I do my errands, and I'm about to head to the polls. And I'm coming down 36th Street in Hamden. And you remember the rain started right about like noon, 12:30 on election day? It just started coming down. I'm sure they were talking about, oh, this may turn people away from the polls. I was like, I don't think it ain't gonna turn my people away from the poll. So I'm driving down 36th Street. I take this right on Falls Road, and I take this left to get home down Union Avenue. I live up by Sinai Hospital. Take this left on Union Avenue, interesting name. And they put up a stop sign that I had forgotten about because I was very excited. And I was going just a little too fast because I was very excited. And the other thing your daddy tells you is to watch out for pickup trucks. So I come up to this intersection, and there's a white pickup truck. And I'm doing too fast to really stop, but I said, I better stop because he might go because he thinks I'm going to stop. So I jammed on the brakes of my motorcycle. And you know how, like, when time slows down when you're having a thing happen like that? Time, they say time slows down. It didn't happen. This was the fastest whatever percentage of a second I went from vertical to horizontal that I've ever experienced in my entire life. And I only had time for one thought. One thought. And that one thought was, I don't give a damn what happens right now. I'm voting. I swear. So my motorcycle is sliding down the street. And I'm not on it, but it had crushed my right leg on the way down to the point where I couldn't move that thing that was hanging there. And it was in the middle of the intersection. And I'm like laying there, right? Pathetic in the rain with an Obama t-shirt. And so these two gentlemen appeared, angels in Hamden looking bodies. And it's different now because you can't really tell whether they're cool or not because they're wearing my people's gear. Right? And I'm all confused. And I was like, all these things are rushing through my head. I gotta vote. I gotta get up. Daddy says, don't talk to these people. This is last year. I haven't grown up much. And these folk came and helped me up and carried me to the side of the road. And got my motorcycle up and rode it over. It was not rolling very nicely, but they rolled it over to the side of the road and they like, and I was like, this change is for real. And I realized I had my helmet on, so they really didn't know I was a black man. No. It was a short sleeve shirt, so I think they knew. And they helped me up. And the thing that amazed me most was that one of the guys said to me, he said, look, I know you're okay, but I have to go do something, and I'm going to be back in about 20 minutes, and I'll check on you. That's breaking down those barriers that keep the city so locked up. And so they rolled off, and I got back on my motorcycle, and you do the safety check, and okay, the steering wheel was like this, and the wheel was like this, and I was like, okay, I can work with that. My leg looked the same way, so I wasn't that concerned about that. And then I pulled the brakes, and they did nothing whatsoever. And so I got back on the motorcycle. I cranked it up. It's a Honda. It went, phew, it starts right up. I love Hondas. And I rode as quickly and slowly as I could at the same time up the hill to the senior center. I ran in my house. I got a cane that I bought for my son and out of my apartment. I walked down to the senior center, which is where the voting thing is. And I was with my people because they was in walkers and crutches and single things. And I was with my cane. And I walked in and I shut that curtain and I pulled the handle and we changed the world.